fatherless daughter. It's a ray of hope for the fatherless son, from the faithful one.
Another gentleman said people are spending more time with the Lord, just getting in the scripture and growing. And I mentioned it earlier, we're made for this. Because we can overcome this, because we know as New Testament, New Covenant believers that the Spirit of God has moved inside of us. We're the new dwelling place of God. And we taught about that, actually part five of this series, which is about a month ago, spirit, soul, and body, and how the Lord had moved from sacred dwelling places and sacred tabernacles. He was moving through temporary housing until Jesus came and paid the price, and now he lives in us, so we can worship him. We can still lead and feed by the Spirit and through the scriptures, you know, and everything that's going on. So we're really made for this. Yes, we will come back together. It will happen as far as the corporate gatherings, but I think the Lord has used this to really, re-emphasize, that as New Testament believers, God's with us everywhere we go. And it is not about where we worship. It is who we worship and how we worship. You know, the fastest growing church in the world right now is in Iran. And I don't think there's a bunch of churches on every corner in Iran. So you need to think about that. They're gathering in small gatherings. This should sound familiar to you. Probably 10 or less. But they're gathering in small gatherings. These secret locations, and man, they're worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and starve to get their hands on scripture. So never take the scripture for granted either. What a blessing it is to live in this country and have access to so much scripture. Well, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence on this beautiful Sunday morning. Thank you for the gathered church. Lord, I know we can't gather physically, but Lord, we can gather in spirit and in truth. And so with one heart and mind, we gather together around the good word of God. We gather together around the good word of God. Would you continue to form yourself in us and mature us? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to get back into our series, Assignment 2020, and it has been a month. So we did some panels on growing ourselves at home. And then last week we talked about Jesus emptied the tomb so he could fill every one of us. And so, yeah, not just 4 weeks ago. We talked about that last week as well. So Assignment 2020, this is the sixth part of that series. The emphasis that we've kind of had, the Lord's had us in, is maturity, but I want to recap the five goals for 2020 just because we need to hear them again. And I want you to see COVID-19 has no power to affect any of the five goals the Lord gave us. We're still about our Father's business. And number one is reveal God's heart and generosity to our community. I would say because of COVID-19, we've been able to do even more of that. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that gives us creative ways. We've been able to partner with East OC RC and other churches to feed at-risk families in our community. And so that is goal number one, and that'll continue. Number two, just have a leading change mindset. We talked early on when COVID first started affecting policies and gathering policies and those things. The Lord said, stay fluid and stay flexible. Do not get frozen. Sometimes when adversity comes, we freeze. The Lord said, that's not me. Don't freeze. Be fluid and be flexible. And so we want to lead the change we want to see. And I feel like we're doing that. We need to continue to do that. Number three, develop a culture of intentionality. And man, if we were all together, I'd say everybody say intentionality. Because this is the word. Develop a culture of intentionality regarding, listen, making disciples, maturing in Christ and his lordship in our lives. And that takes intentional, purposeful investment. So on Monday night, I still meet with a group of guys because there's only about seven of us and we get together. But what are we doing? We've made a decision. I know this is a bad word sometimes in church, but we have committed ourselves to it. We have made a decision and been intentional that we're going to meet together each Monday night to grow each other in Christ. And so just having an intentional mindset is huge. Number four, easy to connect. People who want to be a part of what Grace Church is doing, easy to connect. You know, Gretchen mentioned liking the Facebook page and those things. There are other ways we have found to connect, even though we're not able to gather as much corporately. And then number five, develop a culture of honor in how we treat each other. I've been watching online. It's on YouTube, and then there's also an app called The Chosen. I think there's 6 or 8 episodes. I encourage you to watch it. Oh my goodness. Looking at Jesus in there, and I was telling some people yesterday, if I have any friction with any person, boy, I just go back in my mind watching Jesus in the Chosen series. How does he view that person? How does he see them? How does he feel about them? What would be his posture towards them? I'm telling you, you need to watch The Chosen. It's good, good stuff. And, so a culture of honor, isn't it incredible? Jesus always had that ability to convey somebody's value. And even Mary Magdalene early on and her struggles and, the demons that came out of her and all that. The life that she had lived, but when she encountered him, he imparted such value, how much that she mattered to the living God, and knew everything about her and loved her anyway. And so just raising the level of honor. People are valuable. How do I know that? Well, he died for everyone. Everyone is someone for whom Jesus died. And so just treating each other with honor is the fifth goal. Well, I want to continue on. As I mentioned, the Lord's had us focusing on building, fostering, and nurturing a culture and an environment of maturity in our daily lives. And can I say it again? We've been made for such a time as this. We are still, because we've been hearing this for over a year, we're still able to sit with the Lord. We're still able to abide in him all day, every day. We're still able to say, search my heart, O God. Psalm 139, search my heart. Lord, if there's any, crooked way in me, I invite you in to heal me and correct me. We're still doing those things. And so fostering an environment, an environment and a culture of maturity. Here's the key in our daily lives. Not on Sunday morning. I mean, Sunday morning's great. Let's mature together. We're going to do that. But every day we want to be maturing. So let's look at Psalm 92. This is, verse 12 through 15. But the godly shall flourish like palm trees and grow tall as the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted into the Lord's own garden and are under his personal care. Woo, amen. See, you can't stop him because he's spirit. You don't have to be in a church building to be under the personal care of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are under his care. Verse 14, even in old age, they will still produce fruit and be vital and green. Verse 15, this honors the Lord. When we bear much fruit, when we're still vibrant and green, even in old age, this honors the Lord and exhibits his faithful care. He is my shelter. There is nothing but goodness in him. There is nothing but goodness in him. And then Romans 12, verse 2 in the Message Bible. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Woo, this is true on so many levels. We've talked over and over again. I find it interesting. 3 weeks before COVID-19 and everything started shutting down, the Lord said, 3 Sundays in a row, not joking here, telling you the absolute truth, you become like that which you behold. So make sure you are not beholding television, your phone, the news media, all that more than you're beholding me. And boy, that was just the love of God prepping us, basically. So it says here, don't become so well adjusted to the culture that you just fit into it without even thinking. I don't want all the fear, worry, and anxiety in the culture coming upon me. He says, instead, fix your attention on God. Whatever has your attention has you, and I'd rather it be God than CNN. You'll be changed from the inside out as you fix your attention on God. Inside out. You need to remember that. Very important. Readily recognize what he wants from you. Quickly respond to it right here and obey. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. The world is immature. The world is carnal. The world is natural. We are not those people. Now, we love them. We want to share the gospel of the kingdom with them and then introduce them to life, the person of Christ. But we are not like that. We are not babes, selfish, immature, all these things that he's talking about. Don't be dragged down to its level of immaturity. How about, you know, repaying evil for evil? I know I joked a lot about the Democratic debates at one time, but man, you just watch some of the politicians and there's just so much immaturity and returning insult for insult and all those things. And you're going to know here in a few minutes why I'm tagging those things in particular. God brings the best out of you. Develops well-formed maturity in you. The Lord wants to develop well-formed maturity in us. Father, I thank you this morning for well-formed maturity, and maturity looks a whole lot like Jesus. Lord, I thank you we don't just blame others for our behaviors. I thank you we don't repay insult for insult. I thank you we overcome evil with good. Because maturity looks a lot like Jesus' form, maturity in us. Father, we give you permission in Jesus' name. So, maturity is a process, but it's a process that the Lord is committed to. And listen to this. This is so good. If the Lord wills maturity for us, and I believe he does. It's all throughout Scripture. If God wills maturity, I believe also life wills maturity. I think life has a way of prodding us upward to better living, circumstances, even work, you know, to prod us that way. But if God wills it, life wills it. I think our own body and minds, God loves you too much to let you settle down into halfway living. It is hard to settle down into anger and bitterness towards somebody else. It's easy to just marry it and come to terms with it. Now people do, or it's not easy to do that, and people do. But there's something unsettling. Why? Because we're made in the image of God. I'm much more at home in loving that person than I am holding angst and bitterness against them. So if God wills maturity, life wills maturity, my own body desires maturity, I guarantee you my heart, my blood pressure don't want me living in bitterness and unforgiveness. I promise you. So if God wills it, life wills it, my body wills it, and I will it, nothing in heaven or earth could prevent us from being mature. But there's a key for you. You want to know what the first step is to being mature in Christ? Is your own heart's desire to be mature. He will not make the decision for you. You're going to have to make that decision that, Lord, I want to be mature. I want to look like you in all my actions and attitudes. Oh, my goodness. And you know the Lord wills it. And I want to say this because the Holy Spirit won't let you settle down into halfwayness, right? If you're sitting there hating on somebody, grudging on somebody, the Holy Spirit in you is prodding. He's not going to let you settle down into that. Amen. But I need you to hear what I'm going to say. The prodding of God reveals the presence of God. And that's a good thing. And his presence is there not out of anger, but out of love for you. Now think about that. That, because sometimes we can, on our way to maturity, when we don't measure up or we made a exit ramp for grudging on somebody, we can feel guilt and condemnation, those things. He's not prodding you out of anger. He's prodding you out of love. You need to remember that. He loves you. And his presence is his prodding. And I love that he loves us so much, he won't let us settle down into negative emotions and things that are bad for us. Amen. Sin's not just bad, it's bad for you. So, the change And that desire to be mature can't just be in our head either. It needs to be in our heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart because out of it flow all the boundaries and issues and directives of your life. Proverbs 4:23. So it's not just a head decision. Lord, from my heart, I want to mature. From my heart. And doesn't that make sense? Because everything Jesus brought us in the New Testament had to do with the heart. Remember when he said about the Pharisees, he said, these people worship me with their lips, but what was far from him? All right. He talked about, why do you all clean the outside of the cup? Don't you know if you'll clean the inside of a man that the outside becomes clean? Everything, if we were all together, I'd say, everybody say, everything's about the heart. Everything in the New Testament deals with your heart. And boy, we're going to see that here in Matthew 5. So let me show you again the process of maturity. Thank God it is a process, and this needs to keep being said, that on your way from point A to point B, from where you are in Christ to looking just like Christ in maturity, don't give in to condemnation. Don't give in to shame and guilt. Those are from the enemy. God loves you and he's committed to that process. What he needs from you is your willingness. And listen, part of your willingness is, oh, this is so good, is when you stumble, get up. Get up. I tell on myself, when I was a young person, I would say even now, but I don't hear it near as much because I don't do it as much. But when I was a younger believer and I would stumble, I would just throw in the towel. I'd crawl in this place called the hole of no impact. And that's where I lived. And, you know, the devil beat the tar out of me because I'd done something dumb. I knew it was sinful. I knew it was wrong. The devil's beating me up. And then here's what I would do. Can I borrow that? I would take the bat and I'd just beat myself up all the way down to the hole of no impact. But the Lord would tell me, he said, Steve, what good is self-loathing? What good is it for you to live down there? Who can you help down there? And if I've got to wait until you're perfect enough for me to use you, I'm going to be waiting a long time. So get up. That's part of that heart initiative, is that when I blow it, I'm going to get up. My goodness. That honors the blood of the Lord. That honors that he made you righteous, not you yourself. That's why you can get up, because it's very simple. If I didn't do something to make me righteous before God, then I can't not do something or do something dumb that makes me now not right before God. The only way I was made right with God was because of Christ. So while I'm in the hole of no impact, he's like, hey, are you right with God because of your performance or mine? And all you can do with that is humble yourself and say, you're right. It's you. It's not me. Glory to God. Glory to God. So look at Matthew 5:48. Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now the word perfect is mature. And it's the process of maturity. It literally means the end goal or aim, the end of a process. How about this? The end of the unfolding of Christ within you. That's what the Strong says. This perfection he's talking about is the end of the unfolding of Christ within you. Greek word teleos, which is the end of a pirate's telescope. So when the pirate extends it out, it's the end of a process, this perfection that we're going after. And as I mentioned before, it's going to look a whole lot like Jesus. So what do we desire? What do we desire for you? What do we desire for ourselves? What's the Lord asking us? We want to know and abide in Jesus. We want to walk in his ways. We want to do his works. Now, we can't do any of that apart from him in us, of course, but we want to put him on display for all the world to see. And church, the world is watching. The world is watching, and my goodness, we can't just be a people who lived and died on a Sunday morning. Isn't it interesting? So Sunday gathering has been removed, but that can't stop the growth of the church. Jesus Christ is still doing what I said 2 months ago he's doing in the earth. He's building his church so the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. That's what he's doing. Amen. So we're going to continue eating and feeding on Christ during this time so that when the world sees us, they see him. Because it's all about him, like what Gretchen said earlier, that we would know Jesus and make him known. That was the very first vision of Grace Church. So we often think about our reasons for getting saved. And maybe if you haven't done that in a while, maybe it'd be good to go back there. But we think about our reasons for getting saved. What I want you to think about this morning is, what are his reasons for saving you? Because we want those to line up. Yeah, we had reasons to be saved, but we need to think about his reasons for saving us. And I promise you, it's to conform you to the image of God's Son. That is your destiny. His purpose for saving you is that you would grow up in all aspects into Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, you can't do any of those things without knowing him. John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they would know you, Father, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's what Jesus said. So that's the shooting match. But out of that intimacy, isn't it marvelous that we get conformed to the image of God's Son? We become like that which we spend time with. We become like that which we behold. So it needs to be him in great measure. How about this? He prunes those he loves. I don't know if you're like me, but I think he loves me a lot because I don't feel like I can get away with much. Now, I make a lot of mistakes, but he is present, prodding me from within in love. How about this? He prunes us. Pruning does not always feel good. disciplines us. Doesn't always feel good, but he prunes us so we can bear much fruit. As I said in part 5 of this series, he starts in your spirit, but then he's going to move towards your soul and your body until all of you looks like him. He'll start in your spirit. That's where you're one with him. Praise God. But he wants to morph your mind, will, and emotions. Change how you think, change how you act, change your emotions. Now, I don't know about you, but I get tired of my emotions overriding me, overriding the will of God. I don't want to be subject to my emotions. I want my emotions subject to the Word of God. And then in my body that I'm manifesting what Christ looks like. 1 Peter 2:5 says this, you are God's spiritual house that he's building. So why did he save you? Because he's building you. He is building a house of worship for himself. So he moves in, and guess what he does? He starts renovating. Extreme makeover. Didn't start with the show. God started a long time ago. He moves in, and then he starts renovation so that all three parts of us are leavened by his spirit and look like him. Now, before I read all of Matthew 5:38-48, and just hold on to your boots when we read this, because it is challenging. But Jesus reveals it as part of that process or pathway to maturity and looking like our Father. So in Matthew 5:38-48, you're going to see radical purity. You need to be ready for this. Radical purity, radical humility, radical generosity, and you're going to see radical love. And these are things that Jesus invites us all to. He's inviting us to all these things. You're going to see the reality that maybe he doesn't get us up every day for everybody just to be nice to us. I think he gets us up every day so we can be an expression of him. I didn't wake you up today, Steve, so everybody treat you right. I woke you up today so you could bear witness to my great name and reveal my glory. My goodness. And I think it's fair to say people on the earth need to see the glory of God. That's his will. That's his desire. You're going to see in Matthew 5 your absolute dependence on him as your vine and your source. As your vine and your source. You'll see the reality of John 16:33, where Jesus said, in the natural world, and I'm going to quote the Amplified, in the natural world you'll have tribulation, trial, distress, and frustration, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the natural world for you. Now, he didn't say be of good cheer because once you get saved, I'll make everything go right. I'll put you on easy street. Peter Pan, Christianity, the Peter Pan version of we're just going to fly away and be happy. No, hey, you get born again, there's a war going on. So he said, you're going to experience trial, tribulation, distress, and frustration in the natural, but I've overcome the natural world for you. I have deprived it of its power to harm you. How did he do it? By giving you access to the Spirit. So now you can get your joy from the Spirit. You actually get joy and peace from the Spirit, not from natural worldly things. We are a people of the Spirit, and you're going to see that necessity that he's the vine and he's the source, not people and circumstances. You're going to see it when we read this passage. And even though the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned directly in Matthew 5, 38 through 48, I'm going to tell you right now, it's impossible to practice what you're about to read without the power, presence, person, and poise of the Holy Spirit. You won't be able to do it. You're going to have to relinquish self and any bent towards selfishness, which we all, you know, war against, you're going to have to surrender that to the Holy Spirit if you want to live out the reality of these things. Man, oh man, it's already 10 o'clock. I haven't got started. Let me give you verse 48 in the Message Bible. I've got it right here too. I'm sorry. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up, your kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. And what we're about to read, church, you've got to understand your spirit man not only wants to do those things, your spirit man is everything we're about to read. You've got to agree with it or you're going to struggle. And then he says, live generously and graciously towards others the way God lives towards you. The Amplified Bible of Matthew 5:48, you therefore must be perfect, growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity as your heavenly Father is perfect. Wow. All right, well, let's jump into it. Here's verse 38. Please remember, he says, you've heard that it was said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Remember that the law was given, that he's quoting, to limit revenge, to limit retribution, not to encourage it. Because what would happen is somebody would say, you know, this guy took my crop. And so he'd say, I'm going to take five of his. So the law was given eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth so they could limit retribution. No, he took one of yours, you take one of his. But Jesus is going to address all this. He says, you've heard that it was said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, don't resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other as well. And I've heard different commentaries on that, which means insult, that somebody insults you. You know, almost like the glove to the cheek deal. They insult you, turn and offer the other. Verse 40, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, well, let him have your cloak as well. These are all things we see through modern television and in the United States of America. These mindsets. You can see how contrary, how upside down the world is to kingdom living. Verse 41, and whoever compels or demands you go 1 mile, well, go with them too. How about verse 42? Give to him who asks of you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, don't turn away. Generosity. You've heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor but hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. This is fantastic. Why? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you only love those who love you, what reward is that? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And then verse 47, and if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even tax collectors do that. Verse 48, here it is. So therefore, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. My goodness. So, can I get a witness that when we read these things, you're not going to fake these. These better live in your heart. And if you go back to verse 21 in Matthew 5, he deals with the emotion of anger. But if you're angry enough in your heart, you're already guilty of murder. Verse 27, he deals with lust. And he says lust has nothing to do with whether you did the act. It's what's living in your heart. All of this is internal. So that's why I'm saying we have to be able to yield our heart, our inner person, to the Spirit of God. You will not fake these things. And then verse 33, he also mentions deception. Well, that has to do with your heart. So what do we see in verse 38 through 48? He's talking about retaliation, malice, and agape love. Those three things. All from the heart. Or retaliation and malice have to be subdued and overcome in the heart. So we live in a culture, though, that doesn't value purity, doesn't value humility, sure doesn't value this kind of generosity. Our culture tends to value self-promotion, self-protecting, revenge, and justice. So what do we do? Well, we make a lightning-fast decision that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That he really knows what he's talking about. That this is the way we're designed to live. Not all this repaying evil for evil and giving place to retribution and lust and deception. You can see these things. I love our country. But if we're not careful, we have adopted many values of Luciferianism. Just lust and greed. And if it feels good, you should do it. And you are your own God. We have to be careful in this culture. And then with that, be light and salt. Salt in this culture. Jesus is basically saying, if you're placed in a position where you or someone else is going to lose, then I want you to take the loss. If there needs to be reconciliation between you and somebody else, somebody's got to humble themselves. I want it to be you. This is what he's saying. My goodness, yeah. Now, is he asking us to do anything that he wasn't willing to do? No, he's in us, and so he's wanting to reproduce that same trait within us. How do we end up with Jesus on the cross? Because if somebody's going to take a loss, I'll take it. My goodness. Father, would you empower us once again with fresh perspective and humility of how desperate we are for you? When we see you, Jesus, you're the truth. Your reality. And there's this longing in our heart that we so trust you, we can be radically generous. We so trust you, we can be radically loving, even if it costs us something. Because we don't buy the lie of lack. We are full. We are full in the name of Jesus. So, Father, just empower us once again with fresh perspective that creates humility within our heart once again, dependence in our heart. Lord, that you're good and we can trust you. We can trust you. We can have radical purity, radical humility, radical generosity, and radical love, just as you've taught us, just as you've modeled and demonstrated and now reproducing on the inside of us. I want to say it again, church. If you think you could walk these out without fully submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit, You're going to struggle. So let me give you this. I know we're running short on time. Let me give you this, and then we can pick it up here next week. Mature people, and how am I going to break this down? These are seven things I see out of what we just read. And then I'm going to give you the seven that Jesus brings out next week. I'll give those to you next week. But the first one is, mature people don't blame others for their ugly behavior. Mature people don't blame others for their own ugly behavior. Mature people actually take responsibility for our actions and our attitudes. Number two, we don't live every day for the acceptance of others. You can't read this and put your whole life in the hands of everybody else's behavior. Number three, we believe we're full of Christ, so we don't live with an entitlement mentality towards others. The problem with entitlement is it promises you life and gives you death. Think about what I just said, because this needs to go throughout our country, because we're battling a spirit of entitlement for sure in our country. If you live within an entitlement mindset, I don't care how old you are, everybody needs to hear this, from, I'd say, 10 years old to 90. If you live with an entitlement mindset, regardless of your age, you're going to live with poison in your blood. Because entitlement will promise you, if you live with this idea that God owes me something, this culture owes me something, the government owes me something, if you live with that mindset, it's going to promise you life and deliver you death. It's just poison in your veins. And when you look at this, when you read verse 38 through 48, we are those who are so full of Christ, so trusting of the goodness of our Father, so hearken back to Matthew 6 when Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They're not gathering and storing into barns, and yet your Father feeds them. He takes care of them. And then he says a very profound question that needed to be asked. Are you not more valuable to the Father than birds are? They needed to hear that. They didn't believe they were. What else? Number four, we don't let our emotions, mature people don't let our emotions overtake us at every life hiccup. Number five, we respond right when we get done wrong. That's so much of what I see in Matthew 5. We hear and obey our Heavenly Father despite what others are doing. Fantastic. It's the revelation of the vine. He's my source for how I treat Anita. Anita's not my source for how I treat her. Christ is. John 13, 34 and 35, he said, a new command I give you. It's no longer love your neighbor as you love yourself. I want you to love people like I love you. I want to be your source. I want to be your vine. Oh, Father, please. Father, hear our heart. We see you and we want to be like you. And so we make this decision this morning from our heart to be mature. It's my desire to mature and to look like you in Jesus' name. And then number six. Oh, that's number six. We hear and obey him. Number seven, we know we're going to need great people around us to help us walk out maturity. Spiritual family is crucial. And I pray that even in the midst of this time where we're not gathering on Sunday, that you have spiritual family and you have people that call you up higher. People that will, yes, when you get hurt or you get offended, they'll comfort you, yes, but they'll always point you towards wholeness. I pray you understand the value of good, close brothers and sisters that know your stuff and call you out on it in a loving way. We need to, you can't read that stuff and think, I got this. I got it. No sweat. No, we all need a lot of good people around us, coaching us and calling us up higher into Christ. And I would say none more than the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to yield yourself to him every day. I think I joked about this Wednesday night when I did Facebook Live. I said, man, I wish we rolled out of bed and defaulted to Jesus. I wish I rolled out of bed and I had an aura of golden sun rays on me, but I don't. When I roll out of bed, I got to renew my mind. I got to say, Lord, I'm going to submit my heart and all emotions, thoughts to you right now. Right now. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you this morning for the good word of God. I thank you that regardless of COVID-19, Lord, that the goals for 2020 are still intact. We're still going after your desire, Lord, for our hearts. And one of those huge desires is that we mature and we grow up in all aspects in Christ. I pray, Lord, that even as we've been together on live stream today, that people would still form relationships. I pray they would still encourage each other. I pray if there's any children or any lost people watching in living rooms right now, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to their heart to just receive you. It's a simple prayer, but it's a profound effect. Lord Jesus, would you come into my heart? Would you save me? Would you cleanse me of all unrighteousness? Would you be my Lord and Savior? Would you be my light in the midst of a dark world? I know you're the truth. Now I want to sit with you and I want to get to know you so that when people see me, they can see you. I pray, Father, save, heal, deliver this morning. Your hand is not shortened. You're not limited by location, praise God. Lastly, Father, again, just continue to knit our hearts together in this process. Give wisdom to those who need it, who are making decisions in the state of Oklahoma and throughout the world. But let it be the wisdom of God and not the wisdom of man. Let it be straight from you. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great day, everybody. And let's change our world as we know it.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.